the same Tony and Jenny you've come to love give you an extra dose every week.
I've done murals.
You have done murals. Off in the corner is really odd. There was a questionable chipmunk and a squirrel.
On their other podcast, Junkin' with Jenny.
And I don't know if one was giving a piggyback ride to the other.
They were making a churl.
That was questionable.
Here's how it works. You send in questions and pictures about items or spaces in your home that you want to repurpose. Then Tony and Jenny give you ideas and techniques on how to do it.
Letter says, hi, Tony and Jenny. I just purchased my first house. I'm discovering the joy of fixing and changing things to my taste. It's not cheap.
And how to do it on a budget.
We did levels, Jerry. Levels.
From chandeliers to bars to sleds to you name it. Tony and Jenny have you covered.
That stuff you don't need to prime or anything. It just goes right on the metal and stays right on the metal.
With unique ideas on how to make reclaimed items the star of your home. Complete with insight on what works and what doesn't.
The plumb bobs are stupid f***s. And
I think it's the first time anyone has sworn on this show.
Well,
congratulations.
Whatever. It's Junkin' with Jenny.
There you go.
Watch each episode at junkinwithjenny.com and subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you download podcasts.
50 Shades of Grout.
50 Shades of Grout. That's great.
All the things you can do inappropriately with one bottle of grout.
It's a great product.
Junkin' with Jenny.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Yep, that's what it is. The phone number is 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost story with us. Of course, you can write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, or even email your audio file if you want to do that through your smart device. Send it to Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. Thank you for joining us for another episode of the program here. After Halloween, yet we are still going, because that's how we do this thing year-round at Real Ghost Stories Online. If you listen to yesterday's last Wednesday's free episode of the program, you heard about the strep throat that was going around our house. So far, I obviously have not come down with it. Thank goodness. I can't say the same about everyone else. So, you got me today on the episode, and you got you too. You guys had a lot of good calls for this episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. Excited about that. If you've not checked out our book yet, it is available Amazon, Barnes and Noble, wherever books are sold. Real Ghost Stories, Haunting Encounters Told by Real People is what it's called. Makes a lovely stocking stuffer or holiday gift. So consider that to freak out your friends and family this holiday season. I know I will be. Let's jump over to it. Let's get into some calls here today so we can try and get all the calls I have lined up on today's episode. Hi, you're on Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's hear your ghost story.
Hey, guys. My name's Peyton. I've been listening to your show for a few weeks now. Love it. Just keep up the good work. It helps me get through my work day. Love hearing everyone's stories and always been fascinated by paranormal stuff. So thank you guys. I have a quick story for you guys to share with you. It's something that happened to me a few years ago when I was back in high school. So anyway, I was maybe sophomore or junior in high school. And I had a good friend who had some property out in northern Colorado where we lived. And it's probably about 20 or 30 acres, and it was all, like typical northern Colorado property, lots of huge trees, had a big river running through the property and everything, and we used to go out there pretty frequently, and we would ride dirt bikes. So one afternoon after school, we went out onto the property and did our usual thing, started riding dirt bikes, and one of them was broken, so we were down to one, and we were just alternating on it, and had a little dune buggy or whatever as well, so we went out there and started riding around. So starts getting a little bit darker. We were out there for a few hours, and it's my turn to ride the bike. So there's a little game trail that goes throughout a large majority of the property, probably stretches at least 2 or 3 miles in total. So we used to just ride along that, build some jumps on it and what have you. Anyway, so it's my turn to ride the dirt bike, so I'm on our usual little trail that we have, and my buddy's sticking behind back near the house. So I'm riding, it's getting a little bit darker, and this particular trail ran perpendicular with an old abandoned railroad track series that ran through his property as well. So the trail kind of, you know, the whole time you were riding on it, you were also riding with this train track that was up on a hill to your left, or, you know, whichever way you were riding. So I'm riding, and it's getting pretty dark at this point. I'm probably a good mile or so down the trail, and so I decide, you know, okay, well, I'll turn around. It's getting dark. The bike didn't have a light on it or anything. So I turn around, and I start heading back. So I'm coming, and I'm riding for a couple minutes, just taking my time, enjoying the night, and all of a sudden, I just get taken over by this huge breeze, and it's very unusual. You know, it was a very still night, middle of summer, and this overwhelming breeze. And so I actually, it was so strong that I had to stop the bike and chill out for a second because I couldn't ride. It was going to knock me off the bike. So I stop, and I just kind of get this really ominous, eerie feeling around me. And so I decide I'm just going to try and ride through it. You know, I didn't want to be alone. I was, you know, a little high schooler out in the middle of this property. I just decide I'm going to ride through it. So I'm riding, and there's this one part of the trail where it dips down into this, like, ravine almost. And it goes for maybe about 100, 200 feet down in this little ditch. And on either side of you, you know, there's 3-4 feet tall grasses, so you can't, when you're down in there, it's kind of like you're secluded and you can't see anything outside of you. So the wind's dying down, I'm riding, and I get down into this ravine, and I come up out of it, and as soon as I come up out of it, I look to my right, which is where the train tracks are at this point, and plain as day, you know, even in the darkness, I can make out plain as day this white figure, pure white, and I can clearly see he's maybe 200-300 feet away from me, sitting up on the train tracks. And, you know, mind you, train tracks are at ground level, so, you know, I could make out his knees, and I could make out like almost a hoodie or like a robe, just illuminating white. So I kind of, in the moment, I didn't feel afraid or scared or anything. It was just very strange to me. So I keep riding. At this point, I'm very close to my friend. So I get back, and he's on his phone and just hanging out. And I tell him about the winds and how, you know, how crazy it was. And then I tell him that I also saw what looks like a person who was sitting up on the train track. And I asked him if he knew anything about it or who it might be. And he was, you know, he just looked a little puzzled, or, you know, what are you talking about? And I said, well, you know, and his dad has a construction company, mind you, so they have workers on and off the property intermittently. And I asked him, you know, could it be one of your workers? And he's like, no, you know, they all went home at like 1 or 2. So, you know, at this point, I'm kind of like, all right, well, what could it possibly, or who could it possibly be? So we head back inside, and we tell his parents, and his mom is just kind of listening to me telling the story, and she's kind of just looking like disbelief, you know, like, oh my gosh, are you kidding me? And as soon as I mention, you know, the person to her, she immediately says, well, you know, this area of land used to be an Indian burial ground, or, you know, what have you, settlement. And so that, you know, as soon as I got that, I just ran with it. We immediately got online and started doing some research, and we actually found that she, you know, her information was accurate. You know, we looked at all the records from that area of land, and, it actually gave us a specific tribe name that, you know, settled in that area. So we punched that tribe name into Google Images, and the very first picture that comes up is a group of maybe 5 or 6 Indians standing in a circle holding hands, all wearing, you know, pure white robes. So it was a little, you know, I was a little petrified, and, you know, still to this day, it's one of my best stories and my greatest experiences, being able to witness that and having that concrete evidence, you know, firsthand and fact checked and everything. So, you know, that was really cool. Just thought I would share that with you. I know I kind of rambled on for a little bit, so I apologize. It's kind of a lengthy story, but, yeah, keep up the great work, guys. I really enjoy your show, and thanks. Bye.
Thank you for sharing that that story with us and that experience that you had. Even if you take the story out of the mix here, and the history that you found out about the lot and who this person may be or where this person may originate from, I just always found railroad tracks to be somewhat fascinating and haunting, and I don't know why. When I was a kid, any opportunity I got to wander around railroad tracks, I took it. And I didn't get many. My parents are very, very, you know, they weren't, you know, overly hawkish parents, but they weren't going to let me just go wander around railroad tracks. We watched Rescue 911 and learned from that. My mom would sometimes, she'd go and pick some flowers. She'd make wreaths and things of that nature, and she'd go and try and find some wildflowers. And there was this one spot in the country she'd like to go pick wildflowers out along by a railroad track. So that gave me the opportunity to wander around the track for a few minutes. There was also an abandoned track that led back behind my grandparents' house through, at the time, it was an undeveloped area, just all old trees, and ran along a creek and then into a wooded area. It was a great path for hiking, but it still had not yet been commissioned for hiking, which is kind of the people in the area would sometimes use it. Now I believe it's like all paved and made into a lovely walking trail, but it was the remnants of an old railroad track, and it was falling apart, and there was railroad ties off to the side and bad pieces of rail and the spikes, and it was like something out of a horror movie. You know, it wasn't completely removed yet, but there were still chunks of the railroad track still there, but no train was going on it, and I just found it so haunting, and I don't know, I love finding that sort of stuff. It's funny, where we lived in Wichita for the longest time, we had a railroad track directly behind her house. Like, literally, you could throw a rock at the train. And I never did wander down that track any more than, like, three houses down the road from me. I don't know why. I mean, it was pretty much in the middle of the city. We have a railroad track close to us here, but it's across a mountain pass. Like, it's wonderful in winter now, or here in fall, because the trees are the leaves have fallen, and now you can see the train again, and it's really kind of fun at night because you can see directly across the mountain from us. There's a big ravine and valley, another mountain right over there, and at night it's really kind of spooky. You can see the engine coming, and you can hear it because there's a tunnel down the way, and it just goes down the track, and it's a very, very old track. Used to have stops in what is now a ghost town, literally across the pass here. And that's another spooky one. We have walked that one a little bit and ended up finding an actual ghost town, which is a story for a different day. But kind of a spooky area, too, because there's not a whole lot of places to go if a train does come. So you got to take that. And then I'm not advising walking down train tracks ever. Not a good idea, not safe, probably not even legal, to be completely honest about that. But there's something about that I've always kind of found haunting. Big old cruise liners that are abandoned, train tracks, old locomotives, things like, I don't know, I just always been drawn to that. 855-853-4802, our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online, to share your experiences with us. Hi, you are on the air today.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. This is Corinne, and I wanted to call in and tell you guys one of my scarier stories that I have. I grew up in New England, so very haunted. A lot of paranormal activity happening in that part of the states. But one of the scariest experiences I had happened when I was 4 years old. My family lived in New Hampshire, and I vividly remember people, or ghosts, I guess, that I would refer to as the shadow family. So my parents, they're believers in the paranormal, and they've had ghosts come into their lives here and there. But when I would panic and tell them about the shadow family that I saw in our house in New Hampshire, when I was just four, they would sort of dismiss it and tell me not to be frightened or whatever. So from what I can remember, my mom was home with me a lot when we were young. My dad worked and my mom was a stay-at-home mom. And the shadows never appeared when my mom was in view. So if I could see my mom, I would never ever experience it. But they would only appear when she was on the second floor of our house. So oftentimes, you know, you're little, you're playing with your toys in the living room. So I'd be doing that. My brother was an infant, so he wasn't really interacting with me at all. But I'd be in my living room, and I'd be playing with my toys, and I would just get this overwhelming feeling of dread and of fear. And I would look to my right, and the kitchen was dividing the living room and the hallway that led to the mud room, so like the back room that you go into from the garage. So I would look down to the mud room and I would see these, and they would move around and walk around each other in the mud room, but they always seemed to notice me and be focused on me. So even though they were this blacked out shadow, I could tell that their direction was, or their focus was in my direction. So I would just often sit there frozen in fear, trying to melt into the carpet or the couch or whatever, trying to be like, you don't see me, you don't see me. And then usually eventually I would yell for my mom, who would come downstairs, and then the shadows would disappear. I remember there being about three or four of them, so it would be multiple at one time, shadow family. But yeah, it was very terrifying. And this wasn't something that just happened once or twice. Like, I remember this happening quite often when I was young. So we were only in that house for probably two-ish years before we moved to our house in Vermont. And once we moved to Vermont, nothing, well, though that shadow group was not there. But yeah, no, I was terrified of these shadow people. So much so that one time my mom was busy and I had to go to the bathroom. And since the mudroom had our bathroom on the first floor, I couldn't go alone, so my mom or my dad would always have to walk me to the bathroom if I had to go. But one time my mom was busy doing something, and I so badly did not want to go to the bathroom because that's where the shadows were showing up, that I stood in the kitchen and I peed myself. So that is how scary these shadow people were. And it wasn't until later, after we'd moved from our house in New Hampshire, in Vermont, I was watching the like ID channel or History Channel or one of those stations, and there was a paranormal show on, and there was a woman who was discussing shadow figures and shadow people, and that was the first time that I had actually seen that it was a real thing, that there was a certain name associated with what I had seen. So my mom was home at the time, and I yelled at her to come in, and she watched the show with me. And that was the day that we both learned that my fear of the shadow family was justified. So shadow people are, as you know, demonic spirits and not something that you should be excited to see. So, yeah, that was probably the worst situation I've ever experienced with paranormal. I do have a lot of ghost stories from my childhood growing up, and actually a good amount from college as well. And there are only a few instances where I felt real danger, and this was one of them. But yeah, thank you so much.
Sometimes it's nice just getting that validation, getting that reassurance that you're not crazy, you're not seeing things, you're not overly paranoid about something. It sounds like you really kind of got the validation that you were seeking there. Without necessarily wanting to have the experience to begin with, but you got the experience. But it didn't just have to be, standing alone with you, and then hopefully other people believe you. It sounds like you got a little bit more than that. Thank you for sharing that experience here on the program. 855-853-4802. Our number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your experiences with us. Of course, write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you like our program, you want to keep us on the air, become an EPP, extra podcast person. You do that at ghostpodcast.com. It's a good idea for a gift, too, if you're the person who's like, I don't know what I want. Nobody's like, you're so difficult to buy for. Ask for an EPP membership, a yearly EPP membership. It's like a magazine subscription, you just keep getting it every year then. and everybody's happy and people don't have to wonder what to get you for a gift. You can sign up for a full year or a month at a time if you want. It's $5 a month. If you do the full year, you get 1 month free. And then you also get to claim either a bunk bed bill or you can request a phone session with myself and Jenny where we can do it on Skype. We can do it on the phone, whatever. And hear your ghost story one-on-one. Talk about it. Interact about it. So kind of a neat little extra there when you sign up for that yearly membership. Or give it as a gift. Check it out at ghostpodcast.com. That's what keeps this show on the air. Without our EPPs, this thing would not exist. So please do support it by becoming an EPP extra podcast person over there at ghostpodcast.com. Hi, you are on the air.
Hey, Brewskies. This is Gabrielle calling from Dallas. Foremost, I want to thank you so very much. I was listening the other day at work, like I usually do, and put my headphones in, listened to the newest episode, and it was the homemade Ouija board one. The gentleman had his story, and then it was mine afterwards, and I was so surprised, and I was absolutely so thrilled. It was an episode that Jenny wasn't on, but Tony, I thoroughly appreciate your response. It seems like you put a lot of effort and thought into a very well-rounded response, and I really appreciate the advice and the things that you said. I really do. But when I heard the story, I realized from the time that I had called until now that so much has happened. Well, I think so much has happened in between that time frame. So I guess I wanted to give an update. So just a quick refresher. The story of mine was the one I was staying in my brother's room. My brother's deceased. He committed suicide. And between me and my father, we had felt like maybe there was an entity that tormented. So let's go back to me staying in the room. And I had told you guys in the previous episode that I had felt like something was maybe calling me into the shed outside where he spends a lot of time. And I was wondering at the time if I should go in there or not to search for my brother's spirit. And let me just go ahead and say that I did not and have not set foot in there or attempted to do that. And the big reason being is because I think that for the most part, me and my father both feel like whatever is linked is not my brother's spirit. I feel like Tony was right when he said that I did receive a visitation dream and I did get that final piece, and that's what my brother wanted me to have. And he may not be hanging around per se. He wants me to come to the peace, but still, me and my father wonder if there wasn't something left that is a malevolent force, per se. So, rewind back to me staying at my dad's and continuing to stay the night in the room. Little things started to happen. Stuff like the TV randomly cutting off and on, and things that I started to chalk up to more or less. We'll fast forward to every night. So I said before that I had always been a vivid dreamer, but my dreams, maybe sometimes they're creepy, but they're never very violent. On a pretty persistent basis, every night, me staying the night in my brother's room with my daughter, I kept having very violent dreams, not anything pertaining to my brother, and they weren't necessarily reoccurring. They were just very bloody and gruesome and uncomfortable, and you know, just the time where you wake up and you're like, whoa, how did I come up with that? Where did that even come from? So that was very off-putting, you know, when you wake up in the morning and you have kind of strange dreams, but not to say that that's paranormal. It's just kind of when I started to notice that there was a difference. So every night I would have, and I would start having the dreams, and then eventually I would start waking up. And I mean, I'm a fairly heavy sleeper, you know. I do, you know, my daughter is staying in the room with me, so if she wakes up, I do wake up when she wakes up. You know, being a mother has made me a little bit of a lighter sleeper. I think most of the time it usually does, but I don't just wake up in the middle of the night and get up or wake up wide awake or anything like that. I'd wake up and I'd sit up and I'd be in a panic and I couldn't figure out why. And it wasn't necessarily because of the dream, because sometimes I would have them after I fell back asleep from the wake up, but I would wake up and I would be in a sense of panic. I'd look around, look at my daughter, and I'd always feel like something basically I was waking up feeling like something was staring at me. And I mean, everybody knows, most people know what that feeling's like when you feel like something is watching you. So I would wake up and I would feel like something was watching me. I'd look around, and sometimes I'd even get up and open the door and peek around, and I'd lay back down, and the feeling would be so unsettling it'd take me a little bit to go back to sleep. So after about a week of this happening every single night, the next week, the next day when it happened, I opened my eyes, sat up, looked around like usual, and then I started checking the time on my phone. So I was like, am I waking up at the same time? Because it always, you know, the sun wasn't up. It was still very dark outside. So it had to roughly be around the same time. So I checked that. I thought of doing it. And it was 3 a.m. right on the dot. And, you know, I believe, you know, and if you believe in that sort of Christianity type thing and the, you know, the devil's hour and stuff like that. But of course, it was the first time, so I thought, hey, this is just a coincidence. But it did freak me out nonetheless, waking up, feeling like something's staring at you. It being that time, I was a little off-put by that, but I managed to go back to sleep. So the following night, and the following night, and consistently for about 2.5 weeks, I would wake up with the same feeling, tap my phone to look at the time, and it would be 3 a.m. 3:01, sometimes it'd be 3:04, but it was always within the first 5 minutes of 3 a.m. And so that would continue on, and then it just started to progress. I wouldn't only wake up and feel like something was staring me, I would feel something shaking me or hear somebody calling my name. And I'd sit up real quick and I'd look at my daughter and make sure she's okay and she's sound asleep. And I'd go make sure nobody was trying to get my attention or, you know, and or figure out, you know, if everybody's asleep, then how did somebody just shake me so vigorously almost, it felt like. It was very bizarre. And, you know, again, it was the same time. So I thought, it just didn't make any sense. So, you know, I just kept going on. So as daughter starts waking up in the middle of the night, now she sleeps through the night for the most part. She'll be 2 next week. So, you know, for the most part, she sleeps through the night, give or take. Every once in a while, she'll wake up and, you know, but anyways, she doesn't do what she started to do there. So after all this is happening with me and I'm waking up at this time, my daughter started waking up and I would just hear screaming and I'd open my eyes. Of course, like a mother would, completely panicked. I'm looking at my daughter. Her eyes are still shut. They're not open. Her sleep, and she's screaming like someone hurt her, like someone pinched her, like she's having night terrors. And, you know, and I'm picking her up, and I'm holding her, and I'm rocking her. And, you know, and of course, as a mother in a state of panic, I'm like, wake up, wake up, wake up, you know. And she would never wake up. Night terror or something, she would just be screaming so much in the middle of the night. And I tried to find every logical source to that. What did she eat that day? What did she this? You know, nothing's out of the ordinary. I couldn't find it in night terrors or something. And then I'm thinking, well, is something shaking her? Is something touching her? Or is she having, you know, these nightmares like something that I'm having? You know, or can she feel a presence more than I can because of her age? But it was just so bizarre because I would pick her up and I would rock her and I'd hold her and I'd try to figure out, you know, try to get her to wake up so she could stop crying and realize I'm right there, but she would never wake up. She would cry every night for like 10 minutes, which, you know, isn't long, but it seems like a lifetime when your child is inconsolable. And this would happen every single night for probably about 2 or 3 weeks, about the same time frame that it would happen to me. And every time I would, you know, check the time after she would go back to sleep or, you know, stop crying, basically, because she never woke up. She sleeps all the time. But I would check my phone, and it would be, you know, 3:08 or, you know, it would be 3:20 because, you know, and you got to think if it's 3:20 and she's been crying for 10 minutes, well, then it was 3:10 or when it started time. And I thought, this is just so strange. So, you know, I'm continuing going on like this for a couple of nights of her doing this and this happening and then me feeling like I start feeling more like something is just the nightmares. It's something as shaking me or touching me or grazing, almost felt like grazing fingertips across my arm. And even something that subtle would wake me up at the same time. So I thought, okay, enough of this. I got to cleanse this room. You know, I don't mess around with that kind of stuff. And, you know, I've dealt with spirits before and I've cleansed before. I'm not an expert by any means, but, you know, I carry sage. And sometimes in different cultures, people believe that instead of using a sage stick, if you don't want asthma and you don't want to deal with the smoke, then you can brew sage in a spray and spray it. It was my father's house, and I didn't want to, you know, burn too much of anything in there. So I made the spray. And I got some candles out. So maybe I should have said this part before, but every time whenever I felt like something perhaps was watching me, my eyes would always go to a certain corner in the room. And I know this almost sounds crazy, but the corner wasn't directly off all the way towards the right, but it's almost like, and I hope maybe somewhere someone out there can understand this so I feel less crazy, but I feel like the energy, there's an energy, and there's nothing there, it's just a corner of the room, you know, and I don't know why. But there's a dresser to the right of the corner of the room, so I set some candles down on the top, you know, I started to burn some candles, and I started, you know, I cleaned it, I got the vibe going real good, nice, and, you know, good, tried to promote good energy and vibes throughout the whole entire room, and I lit all the candles, and had my daughter there with Happy, and just be happy with her and try to lift up the vibes of the room.
Well, it sounds like you really went to some lengths to try and do your best to try and fix this problem, alleviate this problem, or just, you know, bring some comfort, if you will, to the situation. And I'm sure that was greatly appreciated. Sometimes it's all you can do. Sometimes it's one of those things where, you know, you may not be able to get rid of the thing or whatever it is. But there's sometimes ways of making peace or creating a better environment for the living when the dead are going to be sneaking around. 855-853-4802 is our number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi, let's hear your story.
Hi, guys. My name is Carla, and I would love to share this experience with you. My mom just passed away a year ago, and on her anniversary day, I had a dream. Well, to give you a little bit of a background, before my mom passed away, we had just found out that my cousin was expecting twins. And so we was all excited, never had twins in the family. My mom was very, very excited because my siblings and I, we have no kids. So to her, it was something that kind of, like, you know, give her joy during her last days. My dream begins with me taking my cousin's baby to work, one of the twins. I took one of the twins to work. So first off, my cousin doesn't even live in this country, but in my dream, I had took the baby from her, brought it to the U.S., and I didn't have nobody to babysit for me that day. So I decided to take the baby with me to work and put the baby in the cabinet, thinking that the baby will be safe in the cabinet, in the cafeteria, at my job, till it's time for me to take lunch and feed the baby, change the diaper, and then check on the baby later on through the day. Well, when I went to the cafeteria during my lunch break in my dream, baby was gone. I freaked out. I started crying, yelling, who took the baby? Oh my God, they are going to call DICE on me. What am I going to tell my cousin? And I hear a voice telling me, Carla, go home. The baby is fine. Go home. And I realized that it was my mom's voice. So I drove home, and yes, the baby was laying on my bed next to this shadow figure. And I asked that figure, Mom, is that you? So she replied, yes. And I'm like, oh my God, can I touch you? And she's like, no. I need you to tell Sarah, which is Matias is the baby, and Sarah is Matias' mom. She tells me, tell Zara that Matias is going to be fine. He's going to be okay. I'm always with him. And I want her to know that everything is going to be fine. So I tell her, okay, Mom, I will tell her, but I'm taking this baby back to his mom because I can't watch the baby, and I'm freaking out right now. If something happens to this baby, I can get in so much trouble. Zara will get so mad at me, and I will just take the baby to his mom. So my mom tells me, it's okay. And I woke up from my dream, and I call Zara's mother to relate the message or tell the dream. And Zara's mom wasn't home, which is my aunt. So I spoke to my cousin, which is Zara's little sister. She's 20 years old. And I tell her the dream and tell her what my mom said. So she tells me, okay, I will tell my mom and I will tell Zara later on when they come over. And we went about our days. The next day, she calls me and she's like, hey, I need you to call me back immediately. So I said, fine. I called her back and I said, what happened? She told me right after we spoke on the phone, a few hours later, Zara called me telling me that she's rushing Matias to the hospital because he has high fever. And my mom is going to stay with her at the hospital because they are scared that something can happen to him. I told them about your dream, and that kind of made them feel better. And they were saying that they know that Matias is going to be fine if your mom said she's with him and she's watching over him. So we are happy to know that my aunt, it's still here watching over us and making sure we are all okay. So that's my experience. I guess my mom comes and tells me that things are going to be fine, or sends me or tells me messages to her family or to people that were her friends. And I mean, yeah, at first it's a little weird, but I guess you learn to live with it. And I have many experiences. I would love to share that with you guys later on. And if you guys have any questions, you guys can put it in the podcast, ask me questions, I don't know. I love your show, guys, and I hope you guys put this in the show. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing that with us. I was really hoping throughout that call that we weren't going to hear that you got a call from her, and she actually did put the baby in a closet or whatever, wherever you said it at first. I'm like, oh my God, you put it where? But thank goodness that's not how it went. It's still not great that unfortunately the baby had to be rushed to the hospital for a fever, but I'm glad to hear that it worked out and everyone was fine at the end of the day. But my goodness, it's amazing in dreams how actions that in real life that otherwise we would deem to be just completely inappropriate, sometimes in dreams would just be like, oh yeah, I'm gonna do that because that's what we do right now. And the, like, it's like there's a level of reasoning that disappears. If you wake up, you go, why the hell did I would never do that in real life. It's not even just like an alternate personality thing, or it's just like, what, where is this missing where this is like an acceptable thing in this world of my dream? But it's, you know, there's no way I would do that in real life. We talk about that a lot on the other podcast, Dream Meanings, where things like that occur. If you're into dreams and you want to talk about dreams beyond the realm of paranormal, be sure to check out that other show. It's called Dream Meanings. The website for that is dreamingradio.com. Whole other podcast you can subscribe to on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you listen to podcasts. We talk about that once a week with more different episodes about dreams. Maybe you've heard an episode. I do feed it out here on the Real Ghost Stories online feed still as we continue to grow that show. But it does have its own page, so feel free to please press subscribe over on that. 855-853-4802 is our number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi, let's hear your story.
Hey, Tony. It's Denise from Baltimore. This is my last time calling because I'm getting ready to go to bed after this. But I have one story to tell you, another story. But this one was, like, horrible. So, everybody remember the movie Exorcist? Well, when the Exorcist first came out, I was very young. And my parents did everything they could to not allow me to watch this movie because they said it was just frightening and it. So, anyway. So, as I was getting a little older, we were still living in this spooky haunted house. To me, it was a haunted house. But it was a pretty haunted house, but it was a haunted house to me. But anyway, we lived in this house. It had a lot of things going on, a lot of spirits. But I was young, but it was still creepy. So, I was able to watch the movie The Exorcist. And my dad said to me, Nina Boo, because that was my nickname, still is, are you sure you want to see this movie? It's pretty scary. And I was like, yes, Daddy, I love horror. I love horror movies. He's like, are you sure you want to watch it? I said, yes, Daddy, I want to watch this movie. So he put on The Exorcist. Well, goodness gracious, this movie scared me to the bones. It was so chilling to see a young girl in that kind of condition with that face that was horrible and those voices and that. Oh, my gosh. It was the worst movie ever. It frightened me so bad, I could not sleep in my room by myself. That's how frightened I was. And my dad said, I told you, Nina Boo, that you was going to be afraid. I said, Daddy, please, please sleep in my room with me. Please sleep in my room with me. I cannot sleep in that room by myself. So my dad did, because he was so cool. So he's like, okay, I'll sleep with you tonight, Nina Boo, but you're on your own tomorrow. I did not want you to see the movie. I knew you was going to be afraid. And I was. So my sister and I slept in the other bed because I had two twin beds in our room. And my sister and I slept together, and my dad slept in my bed. Well, I could not go to sleep, even though my dad was in there. So I was under the covers, and I couldn't sleep. I was just thinking about that horrible face. And mind you, I'm not asleep. So I was just thinking about her horrible face and all the stuff that was coming out of her mouth, and I was so freaked out. So I just happened to look over at my bed where my dad was sleeping, and it was somebody standing there that looked just like the girl in the movie. Now, I know spirits, they know your fears, they know what's going on, they see. So they knew I was so frightened of this girl's face that whatever spirit was in that house, it made itself look like that girl. I was so frightened, I put the covers over my head, I said, dear Lord, please make it go away. And when I looked over there again, it was still standing there, glaring at me. And it was real. It wasn't fake, I wasn't asleep, because I hadn't gone to sleep yet. It was staring at me, and staring at me, looking just like the Exorcist girl, Linda Blair. I mean, it looked just like her, but the one that was possessed. So I put the covers over my head. I got really close to my sister, and I just stayed there for like 15 minutes. And I peeked my head out of the covers again. Now, mind you, it's dark in the room, so I'm peeking as small as I could, as if they can't see me, and they can. But I peeked out, and it was gone. She was gone. So then I laid over. I was like, okay, maybe I'm freaking myself out. I look over again, and it's back, staring at me, glaring at me. This was the worst night ever. I couldn't even tell you what time I fell asleep. I think I stayed up all night long. I could not sleep. I was too scared to even get out of the bed to hit my dad and say, Daddy, somebody's in here. That is the kind of fear I felt. When you're that frightened, you can't even get up and run to somebody. I wanted to scream so bad. I was too frightened to scream because I knew if I screamed, she knew I was screaming. The thing that was standing there would know it. Like, I can't explain that kind of fear, but now I understand why people don't run. You are frozen in time. You do not move. Like, and my dad was right there, and I could not scream his name. I did not get out of the bed. I was just frozen in fear, and I just wanted to tell you about that because I never forgot that. This is terrible, that kind of fear. Well, I hope you enjoyed the story, and all these, this is true, like, really, really, it really, really happened. Like, that's why I know ghosts are real. I have had so many experiences with them. They are as real as you picking up an ink pen and writing on a piece of paper. That's how real they are. Hope you enjoyed it. Bye for now.
Thank you for sharing your stories and your experiences with us here at Real Ghost Stories Online. I bet you'd be a real tough one to convince that ghosts are real, don't you think? Probably take a long time. Thank you for the story. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. If you like the program, keep us on the air. Become an EPP. extra podcast person, sign up at ghostpodcast.com. $5 a month is all it is to become an EPP. Or you can sign up for the full year. That option is there as well. With that, you get 1 month free. And you can claim an extra modus for being a yearly EPP, a bunk bed bell. Yes, you can ring along with us every time we say the word bunk bed. As people asking me that who are new listeners since October. What is this bunk bed bell thing? Bunk beds show up in our stories so frequently, we don't know why. We ring a bell now every time the word gets brought up. And everyone at home can now, too. Anyway, you can claim that as a bonus for the yearly membership. Or you can claim yourself a one-on-one phone call with myself and Jenny or Skype call, where we will hear your story one-on-one, talk about it, interview you, and really dive into your story. We may even use that on a future episode of the program. So two cool extras you can choose from for the yearly memberships at ghostpodcast.com. Help us out. Keep us on the air. Check it out at ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.